It's June the 16th, 2017, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. This is PJ. Thank you for coming by. Thoughts swimming through my head, just permeating my soul. There was a young black man on YouTube I recently saw. His clip, where what he was trying to solidify is the proof and the actuality that believing in a deity such as God is stupid, and it doesn't make any sense to him. And I'm not, you know, he has thousands, hundreds of thousands of hits. I wouldn't dare try to compete with the young millennial's mind to that degree. And he's a very educated black man. Very educated. I appreciate going to his site and looking at his video clips. They're very, not entertaining, very educational. But when it comes to this idea about God, he's adamant. And I found something. Many of the millennials don't have a place for God in their lives. They don't have room for a deity. They become their own deities. Thank you. The music in the background, complimentary of a very dear friend of mine, young man who does his music. He goes by the name of Richard T. I'm not talking about the Richard T that plays the piano for the big stage bands, that Richard T. But I want to thank Richard for his contribution to my webcast. You guys know I always love new kind of music, new kinds of talent. But why do the millennials want to throw God out of the picture altogether? That I don't comprehend. I don't know why anyone would do something of that nature. And is it because, and it could be for particular reasons, especially when you look at American faith and religion. American faith and religion has turned out to be a sham. In practically every denomination in Protestantism, a sham. I would tell my students all the time in the theological classroom, if you find something has a hole in it, say it. Now, that's what this young man was doing. He was talking about how could God create a hell and this and that and still be a loving God and everything. And that makes sense. I've always believed that my eternal destiny, and I am, my spirit is eternal. I think that our spirits are going to just live on. Maybe not in this body. And I think that's what bothers us the most, is the exiting of the premises. We don't want to think about that. But I'm going to hold to my Judeo-Christian ethic and believe that there is something and someone out there far greater than I could have ever presupposed myself of thinking or being, that there is a majestic mind, not a brain. It doesn't have to be physical. I believe that it's all spiritual and it's all transparent. And I believe that it flows through every individual that has life on this planet. And what I mean by every individual, I'm speaking in particular about the Homo sapiens, but I believe that the rest of the species are blessed by this immense, powerful gigantic, whatever it is, thing. We as natives of the planet look to the sun, and we can see the derivatives of our religion. Sunday, what do we do on Sunday? We worship God. Who? The sun god, Amun Ra. Do we have to go back to Egypt and look at those gods to only see that they were closer as our human brothers in getting that done? Oh, I like that so much. You know, we have to give in to it. Could it be the fringements of our religion has gotten in the way? Check it out. This is what really drew me to the young man. And what drew me to him was his use of the term love, because he, just like me, would look out and say, "I love you." And he meant it. He meant it, every word of it. I want to try to put this in words that you can understand it from PJ's aged mind. For those of you that knew me 20, 30 years ago, there's one thing that I find, that I've always been able to talk about the things that are going on in my head and heart. My love for God will never change. I will always love the idea, the impressions, the conceptions of something to pay homage to give thanks for what I have, because I'm human. And I am very cognizant that everything that I may be able to eat, every man on the planet doesn't have at his disposal. There are some men that die because of what other men do, not on the behalf of God. God didn't cause any of that. See, I'm very aware of that. But at the very same time, I'm looking at this new generation of young people, and they have no idea what I'm talking about. And this idea that when life is over, it's just overdone. Well, you know, when you die, you take your last breath, there's nothing after that. You know, really, none of us really know that. Now, we have some evidence from a few individuals in history, and that's why the Christian evidence weighs heavy for me, because to suffer torture in an open arena as your fellow citizens sat around and threw garbage at you and laughed as your body was burned at the stake, that was some pretty gross human behavior back in the times when my religion got started. I would say that they needed that, because civilization was in chaos, very similar to the way it is today. I think about that when I think of, and I'm just thinking in the quarters that I live in. I live in the African-American community, Hispanic community. No, I can't say that now, because there are more whites moving back in on my street. That this ain't gentrification. This is called, man, I've been here so many years, I've seen black families die on the street. Their children, just like my children, don't want the house that we're in. They don't want that. They're forging their own ground. You know, you don't pass down inheritance to your children. I mean, if you can, that's a wonderful thing to do. But know this, the materialists that they are, they're just going to use that up in the mall, for the car, for something. And it'll be sitting in the driveway. A piece for you to marvel at when you remember the good old days. That's why I got rid of my Lexus. I love that car. Don't you know it was, ooh. But then when I look at that car, I said, oh my God, I can't have this on my epitaph. That he loved the car so much. I knew that God, through the wonderful means of death insurance of my wife, gave me a few dollars, and I was able to purchase the car for cash. And I drove it around, had the pink slip on it, until it just became irreparable. Would have been sheer vanity to try to keep that car. Dumped it, got a Mini Coupe. Heaven. See, we learn to adapt, and everything changes. And so the concepts about God. And I believe that, because when I was looking at the young man's website, first thing that I wanted to do was to judge him. And then the second thing, I looked at him and said, that's me if I were a millennial. Because he says it just the same way that I would say it. And the arguments were irrefutable, I might add. You cannot refute them. The only way that you could refute them is to hold to a Judeo-Christian ethic just for the sake of holding to it. That takes courage. Here's another principle. Didn't the Christian religion teach us that you should be glad when you suffer? Well, why would God tell you to make it possible for you to suffer, and so he can redeem you, if he never had to take you through that? Those kinds of thoughts. And though I never used those kinds of terms when I was talking to people, when I was their pastor, I was merely investigating what the meaning of the text was, sharing that very, very clear and sane meaning of the text. Because while I was at the height of my pastorate, I was battling off the tongue-speaking lunatics. You know, the Paul and Jan Crouch. We made a million for ourselves before we died, and now our children is running the... Oh, my God. Can you believe that? TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. One of the biggest hoaxes of religion that you ever want to see in the 20th and 21st century. And the people that were sucked in went to their graves thinking that they were buying their way in heaven, and none of that stuff was true. None of it. I used to tell them when I was a pastor, don't believe in the pie in the sky by and by. I said, why would God give it to you in the future and not give it to you now if it was intended for you? Why would you be manipulated by such buffoonery? So I wouldn't get into the idea about God, because I know that God, the benevolent, that is, Father, our provider for the whole universe. This whole thing is held together. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go into a mindset to believe that all this happened by some gigantic... I know this is old school argument, but I just got to give it. I cannot believe that everything that we know about, that we realize, happened by accident. I just don't believe that. And I believe that the people that want to believe that are going to believe that because they're comfortable with that. I remember when I was in grad school. And I began to learn all those things. I just listened in that classroom and kept my mouth shut. And I told myself as the professor spoke, well, I'm not getting into that ridiculous story anyhow. Who would believe that? I'm trying to bring back black people to a sense of, black and Hispanic people to a sense of cessation of hostilities against each other. Grew up in my streets, boy, and I'm telling you, I think it's gotten a little better in the inner cities. You know, I think that the only thing that messes up people in this city is sexism. Mm-hmm. Because many of the sons of the parents of the millennials are same sex practices. It's spreading all throughout. You can, you know, cover your eyes and your ears and your mouth and your nose. You don't even want to smell it. You don't even, but it's there. What is the best thing that a community can do to protect itself? That is to educate these young men and not to try to go and answer, to try and answer the question, well, why is it like this? And especially in the black community. Well, I believe that when the black community and the Hispanic community, the poorer parts of the ghetto, just like in Poland, Warsaw, World War II, all those Jews in that hellhole in Warsaw, where they got to eating each other, eating human waste. I mean, cannibalism. We know that the Poles are not like that, but that was a desperate situation for Jewish Poles during World War II. And that's when a man, a German, of a different country, of different kind, did. He tried to eliminate a whole, well, there's only one race, human race, but he tried to eliminate an entire portion of that race. And when you really do the research, that same group of people that scream for Jerusalem and all of that denies the black Israelites or the true black Jews. Who can defend their thesis, mind you? See, we put these biases up. What I want you to do as students of learning is to listen to what the other person is saying. You do it for the Democratic and Republican. You listen to that bull crap and then you go and vote, right? And then they still be tripping on you. So that, and you know, wait a minute. I read an article somewhere on the internet today said that President Obama could most likely become the president of a university in this country. Now, you know what? As long as you got a couple of teleprompters, anything is good. And I'm going to tell you, that university would grow with leaps and bounds. Everybody, they quit going to SC and UCLA to go to that. Man, I'm going, you know, how would that look? Get all the blacks in the black university. You're talking about no diversity. See, these kinds of subjectivisms can get into someone's head and you lose the entire focus of what the word popularity implies. Now, he'll probably get a position because people just are mesmerized by that black man. Let me see. I guess he's an attractive man. He's just about as attractive as I am. I'm not going to argue with that. If a man is attractive, he's attractive. I'm going to give him his dues when they're due. But president of a college? I'd like to see a little bit more of his scholastic stuff. That would be like someone trying to give me a post like that. I would say, no, no, no. You're looking at the wrong John Coleman. No, that's not me. No, because I don't practice consensus to keep everybody happy. I don't practice kissing up to the people that's supposed to give money to the institution. I don't practice that. I'm going to tell you, we're doing the good work here. You want to get behind it? Hey ho, even hush. Write the check, get to stepping. We'll keep you in mind and we'll send you a card whenever it's Christmas time to ask you to give a donation as a part of the Illumina. That's the way things are run. Stop playing. Open it up. Talk about it. Be frank. I tell you what America's problem was. She lived in this, like, the whole life of America was a movie script or something. Was something that was special. People around the world are starving. I recall when Lucy and I first got married in the late 60s, 67, 68. 69 is when my first daughter was born. My second daughter was born in 72. Because we wanted to separate them by a couple of years. And in so doing, it was big sister, little sister. We didn't continue to have child after child after child after child because I never have been into. No. It worked perfectly for us. And I think that's what makes me a believer in some kind of divine entity also, because it did work perfect for us. I wasn't ever attracted to women like most men are attracted to women. You know, like, oh man, this chick, I sure would like to throw her down. I've never been like that. I throw her what? And she can move on. But I've always been attracted by women that don't talk too much, smile when I speak at them, knows how to come back in a rational way to a man. Now, I got to pause this because there's going to be an interruption and I got to let it be. I'll be right back. So that's the kind of woman that I married. I married a woman that would not talk back to me, that would not give me a difficult time, that would not be up in my face contradicting what I've said is true or to be true in my life. I don't care if we were high school chums or whatnot. Lucy went to a Catholic high school. I went to a Protestant one, I guess. A regular high school. She got her first degree before I had mine. She was very talented and gifted throughout my 34 years of marriage. There was never a time when I could look at her and say, oh my, why did I marry her? Never, ever, ever. Even when she became ill, I didn't feel that way. And I know a lot of the millennials, they listen to me, and them and their girlfriends, man, I can't believe some of this stuff. It's really crazy. I don't know how or why certain people get with other people. But I know that after they hook up, everything falls apart. Until you can hear some noise in the house, right? And that's what I love about that. So I keep my idea and I restrict myself from blasphemous thoughts. Thoughts that there ain't no God and I don't worship no God and F God and all that kind of crazy stuff. No. I won't do that. And the reason that I will never do that is because I know on whom I believe. I know God. You can torture me. You can try to pull my tongue out. Ooh, that would hurt. Fingernails, all that stuff. Let rats chase me. What? My aching body to say I'm hurting? I'll say I'm hurting. But God knows that I'm hurting. He knows that I'm hurting. Why does he allow it to take place? He's God. Just like when each of us die, we can't turn the hands of time back. We can't have it our way. See, it doesn't make any sense to try to turn. This is all I have to say about that argument. Keep on living, young man. Keep on living. Because God in his majestic time. And I'm sure that there are some sharp young men out there that are Judeo-Christian like me and can say it to their generation far better than I could. As a matter of fact, this young man that I firstly referred you to, I believe this. I believe that he is going to be used as a mighty instrument for God, because the ones that think on that level and do that, it takes a God to change his mind around, to turn everything around. Don't believe me? Ask Jimmy Kimmel when his little baby almost died. Did you see the clip that they're showing of Jimmy Kimmel? A rich millionaire? But when your baby's hurting, you gonna give all that money and all that stuff to people that are fighting a cause that you wouldn't even think about fighting if your child wasn't involved in it? I love humanity, man. I love humankind. I hate religion. Religion is a foul thing, because what it does is it turns one person against another person. It happens in denominationalism. I never could tie that together. I said, why would one denomination that is Christian find another one? I should have fled from all of that cock and bull stuff then, because it was irrational. Now I'm thinking out loud, and I'm loving life everywhere I go, everything I experience, new people I'm meeting, just everything. I'm so excited about it. I'm walking with that little copperhead gold walking stick, but I'm cool because the hip hurts me now and then. But other than that, I cannot believe that I am at the very same age that my mentor was when he died. It just dawned on me. I just thought about it. And I'm still talking with people and extolling the idea of God, but without the frills of foolish religion and money whores. Religion should never have had money involved. I was speaking with a friend of mine, Johnny Jones. He's still alive. And he was saying that when something happened where the men all had to buy a certain color suit for a men's day program and everything, he said, we were a part of it. I said, Johnny, why didn't you tell me these things? Why didn't you speak? And he said to me, why didn't you? Simply put, because I was young and my mind did not want to take me there. When you got a job working for the city and you making money and you paying your rent guaranteed and you bought your wife a new car and everything, oh yeah, you're going to stay in that church, boy. You're going to stay in that church. Not that you're superstitious thinking that God will do that to you because you do all that for him. But if you know what I'm talking about, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's because the favor of God is on you. Man, I got to tell you guys this. This is a part of it. I went to the mall today not to buy anything. I just wanted to see if my barber was there. And he wasn't. And I like to get out and have some walking. And it's Friday. And I'm not going anywhere tonight because tomorrow, going to have a family come by. Going to have a few people come by the house. So anyhow, I was in the mall. And I got hungry and I bought a turkey burger. And I'm just walking around, looking at the people. You know, it's Father's Day weekend. And I said, ooh, thank goodness, I don't have to. And I start talking with people, as I usually do. And after I ate my lunch, I was sitting in the mall on one of those stools overlooking some of the balconies of the mall, just watching the people pass by. And I fell asleep, like I usually do when I eat more than I intended. The turkey burger was huge. And I know I should have eaten vegetables, but I wanted it. I fell asleep. The next thing I know, the man that was sitting next to me with his wife, a black man, said, sir, excuse me. And so I said, oh, I fell asleep. And he said, did you go to Locke High School? I said, no, Fremont. And I said, man, I graduated so many years ago. And he said, oh, you look just like a man that went, he had gray hair, but his wasn't, you know, as white as mine. Mine is white. And we were talking, and I said, yeah, I'm recently retired. And his wife said, oh, my, that's just what I'm working towards. And I'm telling you, people, this is what I told her. I said, my blood pressure went down to normal. My anxiety level was down. I don't worry about eating if I get a little hungry. The boys just came back. I got a nice piece of pizza in there. I'm going to heat it up. Hey, I'm living with my family here, helping them. And then I came to a realization that was hard for me to come to, people. This is one of the reasons I haven't shut the website down. I know that a lot of my friends that used to listen to me when I was preaching and doing all that no longer listen, but I hope that they listen to me. Look, this is what God told me to do. I'm going to tell you guys the truth. If I didn't believe that God was real and alive, I'd be dead. I would have been dead a long time ago, people. And I don't mind dying and everything, but ready to die, I've never been unready to die. You can't help it. Didn't Jesus say, be ye also ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not? When I first read that, I said, okay, I'm that. Cool, I'm down with it. I'm ready. And because I go and lie down with somebody and sleep with somebody, and they kiss me and I kiss them, and it's beautiful to us, I'm going to hell? I couldn't reconcile that. I couldn't reconcile it. I never will be able to reconcile that. That makes absolutely no sense to me. And if you really want to wrestle with that idea, read the writings of St. Augustine, please read them and understand and know what and who he is. As he lives on in infamy, just like all of us do. I think God knows who and what each of us are. And he knows what wickedness and evil is. I don't need anyone to tell me that I'm a wicked, evil person. I know that I'm not. I don't need anyone to tell me to love my enemies. I do. I do. I was making a comment to another person about my great affection that I have for someone. And I was really complimenting them. And I never tell them because I think that they were bashful. Well, I think that they overheard me speaking with this one person about them. And they came and they confronted me. And they thought that I was talking negative about him. And I kept saying to the man, I never said anything negative about you. Ever. I looked at him. I said, look at me. I would never, ever say anything negative about you. And I looked at him and he turned and he left. And one of the boys said, man, what is with him? I said, I know. See, God has us in a world set up where if you discover who you are and what you like, then don't try to jump on somebody else's railroad car for the free ride. Discover you. And discovering you means that you have to stop listening to the people that are trying to influence you to be like them, because that is awkward. I remember a couple of men got to me one time and they were going to try to tell me about the loveliness of women and all of that. And I just finally said, man, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. All right? It's like, and I listen to these love songs these days, these young men singing about, baby, make me this, and baby, help me to be that man. I'm asking, what in the hell happened to men? What in the hell happened here? Oh, baby, I do whatever you... Oh, just pour some chocolate on me. And what is your problem? I have one young man that I'm working with, and it's only going to be by God's grace that he pulls through this very difficult test that I have him going through. I'm going to have to put y'all on pause. See, and I almost did it again. I began to talk against the millennials and the way they live. I recently found out that one young man has some serious problems. And I found that out from another young man, a little bit older. I was talking with a 30-something-year-old guy, and he was telling me about the emotional damage that a lot of these young men suffer. And I had never really considered. You know what? I got the key to everything. Let's just throw judging out the window. Let's throw judging out, because we can't judge right. We're so screwed up. Those of us that have been pampered and taken care of, got money flowing into our accounts forever, forever, forever. We got food, cool water, all that stuff. We ain't worried about a damn thing, are we? Why should Why should we be concerned about them? Why should I be concerned about a young man whose parents couldn't hold it up? You know, a lot of times I have to admit that I was wrong. I was wrong for my approach because I didn't consider the agony that they've gone through because they weren't raised the way I was. And that's where we older people get out of whack, because see, we under this false impression that, well, why aren't they like us? They can't be like us. They weren't raised like us. Can't do it. So what do? We work with them. We work with them. We love them. See, this is a Friday evening. Shouldn't I be getting ready to go out and enjoy myself? No. I'll burn a fire log tonight. Listen to my music in the backyard. Somebody call me, they call me. If they don't, they won't. But I'm readying myself because I'm going to have a family here from Michigan. Oh, that's going to be interesting. My dad wants to know, along with his wife, some tips of how to raise two girls going into middle school. They want to know what kind of parents that has fear of God. What can we do? Because when you go to these churches, they just put you in a program. Next thing you know, you're recalculating your life by how much the pastor wants the people in the congregation to give him because of the nice little thing that he put together. Tell me if I'm lying. You know I'm not lying. Hey, listen, thanks for coming to my website. I ask a couple of crucial questions, and that's good. I told you an awful lot about me, and that's good too, because you're learning more about me. So when somebody says, oh, I think John Coleman's gone overboard, to hell with you. You go overboard. You know, people are always trying to talk about, well, you know, I think John went over on the deep side. What side is that? You know what the deep side is? You trying to justify some Looney Tune philosophy that don't hold water. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm so glad I did? I gotta say this. So glad that when I was a pastor, I did not have my name tied up with these people in legalities and business and all that kind of stuff, because I wouldn't be able to be sitting here in my home right now, trust me. They would have had all my stuff tied up in that. Me and my wife would have been out in the street in the cold. I had to tell one preacher that was in the church, if you mess with my filly again, you're going to get a boot up your ass. He knows who he is. Trying to manipulate my wife to make me get a loan so we can do something for some church. I said, I'm not going to put my wife out in the street for these ideas that are incomplete. I think that's why I look as good as I look. Matter of fact, my body is looking great. Doctor saying I'm in good shape. I just wanted to tell you people I'm doing great. And I'm so glad that you came to my website to visit with me. Let me see how long I've been talking here. Oh, just 44 minutes. Okay. All right, well, listen, I don't have too much more to say. I think I'll end it at that. Thank you for coming to the website. Happy, happy Father's Day. If you want to know what a good father should be like, listen to that radio program I've had up a couple of weeks. I'll look for some more to put up. But it's only going to be things that I review, things that I listen to. Because if I don't agree with it anymore, I'm not going to put it up. Okay? All right. Hey, I love you, and I hope you guys love me. And for all you youngsters out there that, you know, need somebody to be concerned about you, I am. For For those of you that I know your name, I am. I love you. Gonna always love you. Oh, and don't be ashamed of love. You know, they make you feel ashamed of love in this country. Can you believe that? You tell somebody you love them. Oh, man, you shouldn't tell a dude you love him. Why not? I love you, man. But why do you reject my love? What you talking about, punk? See, he doesn't even know where I am. He has no idea. And that is what this fallacious system has done to you. You've been so messed up that when something good comes your way, you deem it as wicked. Now, that's the subject matter of another time at another place. Hey, thanks for coming to the website. You know the drill. Stay in the Word of God. If it strengthens your heart and makes you well, and to know yourself and to your own self, be true.